What up, y'all?
What it do?
Hey.
No, Anthony? Okay, that's
tough. I don't know. They don't know me yet.
Oh, there you go.
Why don't you introduce yourself, Anthony?
Oh, I'm Anthony. That's it.
Drop right. That resume.
Oh, okay. I'm Mag Daddy Ann on Twitch. You know.
Twitch! Oh, my God. Never mind, guys. End the podcast.
All right, I'm leaving.
All right, welcome back to Couch Talk, where we like to hear ourselves talk about basketball.
Yep.
On this week's episode, what should we start with? What do y'all want to start with?
Run through the list. Run through what we want to talk about.
All right.
Top thing, yeah.
A little debrief before we start. We'll be talking about the Lakers' strong start to the season. LeBron, not aging at all, bro. Luka, already top 10. We'll discuss that. Trae Young going off. Atlanta, they're still trash.
Facts.
Jazz are off to a slow start.
Some people were saying that they're going to go to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Same with Portland. Portland's also off to a slow start, but they just made a key pickup.
Maybe.
We'll be talking about the Suns a little bit. Are the Suns the real deal yet? The answer is no. Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. They got tired of being bullied by Jimmy Butler. Now they're going off. Raptors, Pascal Siakam, still nice. Still top of the East, maybe? Question mark.
Still fuck Fred VanVleet.
Talk about our thoughts on the rookies of the years of the year so far. What's going on with the Kings? Not a whole lot, but we'll talk about it. Obviously, we'll touch base on the San Antonio Spurs. Talk a little bit about the Warriors. Talk a little bit about the Rockets. And, of course, what I think we should start with, load management.
Oh, yes.
I really want to talk about that.
All right. So we'll start. There's been a lot of questions around the league. It's been going on for a while. It's not like Kawhi is the first person to ever do it.
It's not like the Raptors invented it.
Right. Raptors didn't invent it. Spurs didn't invent it. It's been around for a while now. Michael Jordan came out with a comment, more or less.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck load management. You know, you get paid to do this.
You get paid to play 82 games a year.
Right.
That's what he said.
So let's talk. What do y'all got?
I'm on his side on that one.
Well,
as an aspiring fan, aspiring. Okay, well, as a fan, I agree with Jordan on that one, because, I mean, they're being babied. Back in the day, they played 82 games. They had a lot of back-to-backs, and we all know this. And what have they done? They've taken out the back-to-backs. They started babying the players, which I understand.
It's for their health.
Which is great. That's cool. I get it.
Yeah.
But you're paying them the money. At least play the nationally televised games.
That's fact.
That's all I'm saying. Well, at least, like, if you're going to sit out to the ones that no one's watching on TV. Because what does the TV need? Viewers. You're cutting a lot of people out of money.
No, I feel that. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like, especially, like, with Kawhi. Like, I feel like he's, like, picking which games to sit and which games to not sit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, I get it. Like, if you do it back-to-back, like play the first game and then sit the next one out. This dude really is picking, like, which team not to play and which team to play just to avoid matchups. Like, that's what I see, at least. Like, that's not fair.
James, you got a look on your face.
Bro, fuck load management, man. That shit's pussy shit. Like, I'm all about the fans, like, you know, low-income fans that come out to those trash games that, you know, aren't televised, like, and all they want to do is, like, see their superstars of their home team play. Like, and you have guys sitting out, like I understand it's 82 games, a lot of back-to-backs, a lot of traveling, like, jet lag and loss of sleep, and you're doing media for this, that, and the other. But, like, at the same time, it's like, you signed up for this lifestyle. Like you signed the dotted line saying that I can play all 82 games, and I'm going to accept every single dollar that I receive from this team, the NBA, and all my sponsors to be at these games and perform and do what I do. And when you sit out on national televised games like Kawhi Leonard or like what LeBron James has done in the past, like, you just can't do that. Like the NBA is entertainment, and if you sit out for strategic reasons, I understand that, but if you can't play all the 82 games, then you ain't cut for this. Like, there's dudes out right now that didn't make the cut for the league, and they would do whatever they can to play all 82 games. Like, dudes in the G League that work their ass off for years, years, and years, and they want to do all this shit to be in the league.
Patrick Beverly?
Like, and then LeBron came out with that comment saying, like, AAU coaches need to start load managing their kids. Like, what the fuck? Like, they're kids. Like if kids want to play basketball, they'll play basketball. Well, like,
to be fair, AAU is a whole total different thing.
No, but, like, it's a lot of how's LeBron going to step in and say AAU coaches need to don't give a fuck about kids and their bodies? Well, of course they don't, because y'all are paying them to play the kids.
Well, he saw it more as, like, he feels like the coaches are just kind of, like, using them to get ahead in, like, what they want to do.
Well,
their agenda. He wasn't really going at load management, in my opinion, at least.
No, because he was saying coaches don't give a fuck about your body. That's what he said, in quote. He said, coaches don't give a fuck about your body.
Well, I mean, is he lying?
Well, if a kid is all energetic saying, I want to play, and he plays, and he's like, damn, I'm so tired, I'm so sore, it's like, well, that's the part being a kid. Like, you learn, like, okay, I can't do that every single game. Like, I can't do that. Like, I need to own up and take a break. Like,
I think targeting AAU as a whole is not entirely correct. There's definitely some cases of, the coach pushing their players to push their own agenda, to push their own popularity of the team. You know, now that mixtapes, Ball is Life, you know, youth basketball is bigger than it's ever been before. So I can understand LeBron's standpoint on, you know, you're not necessarily taking care of your kids. You just want to get wins. You just want to win tournaments. And, you know, kids are developing. And so from LeBron's point of view, I can understand what he's trying to say. But until I get some science behind it that kids need load management, I don't really think there are many players that probably need load management at this stage in their career. Now, if we're talking about the NBA, I'm actually going to disagree. I think load management is absolutely necessary. If you look at the number of possessions played per game, you look at the pace of the game, there's like 20 to 40 more possessions per game from like 2019, 2018 statistics versus like 2003. We're talking 90 possessions per team per game back in like 03 versus now there's like 120 possessions. So that's like before even the 90s, that's, you know, not accounting for the 80s. Pace of the game has increased, and players are better than they've ever been. I mean, that's just without a doubt. Players are pushing their bodies to greater heights. I mean, damn, you look at someone like Derrick Rose, right? You look at someone like,
God.
I mean, Tom Thibodeau, obviously, fuck Tom Thibodeau. I mean, I'm just saying that right now. Like, I love that he pushed his players to be defensive, strong, that whole Heart of Chicago team. I get that. I know you want to be a tough team, but that's how you ruin players' careers. That's how players like Derrick Rose get injured. I mean, granted, that's because Derrick Rose is also doing spin moves and hop steps, euro steps that we had never seen before, and putting too much pressure on his own knees. Also, terrible landing on dunks, man.
That's what I'm saying. That could go into his training. Maybe he's not getting in enough training for the recovery of his ligaments. Like, you got to do ligament training. You have to.
He definitely took his time on that. I think that shows because he's actually putting up his best numbers since the year after his MVP season. So I think where load management comes in, the NBA is right with one thing. Kawhi can't be just picking and choosing. Like, oh, I don't want to play this game because it's going to be a tough game and I'm going to have to push myself really hard. It shouldn't be like that. Load management definitely needs to be pretty tight fist, in my opinion.
Like a logistic-wise schedule.
I think it makes tons of sense. 82 games a season is crazy. NBA is very physical. All the players are very big players. They make tons of time and training, too. Whereas, like, if you look at, like, the 90s, as much as I love Jordan did train. But training, off-season training, like, muscle stuff, that wasn't really that big in the 90s. Like, that was still a growing popularity for athletes. I mean, you can look up reports of players that would come to work out with Jordan because they didn't feel like they were getting the same workouts from the team, from the organization. So Jordan is a bit of a spectacle because I think his body was in a lot better shape than a lot of players. And I think players are in great shape now too, obviously, but they put a lot of miles on their body. They're constantly working, and the body always needs time to rest, and the athlete knows their body better than anyone. So load management, in my opinion, is very reasonable, especially if your team has playoff hopes.
What's next?
That's just where it is. Moving on, why don't we just start from the top? Let's start with the Lakers. I know we got LeBron fan here. We got big old Lakers fan here on my right. How are the Lakers starting off so strong? What are some key points with the Lakers?
Rotations. It's about fucking time. We had great fucking rotations.
Not even that.
Like defense or substitution rotations?
What do you mean? So like two letters, bro. AD.
Yeah. Like what? Some of those rotations look kind of ugly.
How so? And don't say just cut Jared Dudley. Because there's some I walk on the court, I'm like, that's an ugly-ass rotation. But I'm just like, you know what? That's just Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley, he could be in there. You pop a three. That's what he's supposed to do. Yeah. But I'm saying when you have Jared Dudley, KCP, you know, some of it's kind of ugly. Like, some of it's real ugly. But they do need AD. Like, he's a key.
You know when they run those lineups, right, that they, like, they sit one of their all-stars on the bench, and if a lead gets out of control, like how Vogel's always run his – rotations.
Yeah. I get it, but I don't know about it.
No, I've seen years prior, like Kobe's last year, the year after Kobe, the year they first had Lonzo, the year they first had LeBron, and now the first year they have AD, it's like Luke's rotations were so bad.
Dog shit.
Because look, there was games where Kuzma would just go off in the first quarter, and he'd yank him. Like 6 minutes in, yank him. And then he would sit him until midway through the third and put him back in. Did the same shit with LeBron. LeBron would go off hard second quarter. I would not see him until the last 6 minutes of the fourth.
That's why I want to put a timeout on this. We're going to talk about Luke Walton after this because this is a perfect segue. I'm not going to forget about Luke Walton.
Okay. But I think it's rotations. I've watched – every single game except for, I think.
Nah, but, like, he is true about, like, how, like, obviously, like, yes, LeBron and AD starting off. But, like, whenever one of them takes a break, the other one stays on. It's just smart. Because, like, you want to, like, keep at least one of them on the court at all times. Obviously, they can't both be on the court the whole time. So, like, with them just even doing that is way better. Because I'm pretty sure even if it was, like, last year, like, they would both come off. And, like, that lineup would be even more shit probably. If neither of them were on the court.
That's why half those games last year were so close and they lost those games because Luke Walton's rotations were so shit. And by the time they threw their all-star or their good players back in the game, they were cold. They're ice cold.
Yeah.
Like, and then they get LeBron criticism for, oh, like, you could make a clutch free throw. Well, no shit. You sat him almost damn near two quarters. Like, and that's the difference between Vogel and Walton is, like, legit, like, it's constantly, like, every 6 minutes it's like an all-star stays on, all-star stays off, and they keep adding more and more defensive rotations, which in years prior, they've been one of the worst defensive teams.
Yeah.
One of the worst defensive teams. But now they're top three.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I would hope so. They got Dwight and JaVale.
Dwight Howard is looking like Dwight Howard, bro. Yeah,
Dwight Howard's actually.
And who doubted him?
Out of his head.
Not gonna say it, but this guy.
I doubted him too. But this guy. I'm proud of him.
I didn't doubt Dwight. I said he's gonna go there play defense and get boards. What's he been doing? Just that.
Yeah, he and JaVale really found their click with LeBron, and I think part of it, and I'll get to this with Carmelo, but I think part of the thing with Dwight understanding that a lot of the backlash he's been receiving is part of where he fits in into an offense now. In the NBA, it's no longer an inside-outside game. It's an outside-inside game. Mm-hmm. So Dwight had to kind of change from a paint beast, which he still is, but now he comes out on the perimeter a little bit. I think he had three assists last game or the game before because he would catch the ball in the high post now. Mm-hmm. He's looking for cutters. People are cutting off him, and he's throwing a couple nice dimes. And he's finding his spot in the offense, right? He's finding these pick and roll opportunities. Nice. He's crashing the offensive board, always giving LeBron an option when LeBron needs to bail out. So him and JaVale, I mean, it's similar to like a Chris Paul and Clint Capella. They just need to stay around the rim and look for their opportunities and just have their hands ready. So they're definitely playing out of their mind, but that's pretty much because of LeBron.
Well, that's what
on offense.
To defend my Dwight Howard comments, I didn't think Dwight would be Dwight Howard because of Dwight Howard's ego and what Dwight Howard was in the past. And now all of a sudden he swallowed his pride and now he's a role player, which is what he should have been doing for the past 3 years. But
LeBron James effect.
What's I think he also, I mean, LeBron James effect, but yeah, to your point, I think
he has a negative.
Having a second chance with Los Angeles in general. I mean, Los Angeles Lakers, they're one of the most famed franchises in the NBA. So to kind of get kicked out of there the first time, you know, I'm sure he kind of felt hurt.
Stings, yeah.
Yeah. And so especially I'm sure now that he has an opportunity. He realized, you know, I have an opportunity to play with another one of the GOATs of basketball. Like, I can't blow this.
Alex Caruso.
I can actually bring out
here we go.
Caruso's nice, man.
Yeah, I'm GOAT.
He's like, a role player. He's a solid role player.
He's solid. I just hope they don't get – honestly, I'd be totally fine if they gave him more minutes coming off the bench.
He's a fan favorite, bro.
Not mine.
It's like Patty
Mills. Hey, too honestly, ugly. there's a home crowd effect, man. If your fans are behind you, look at Kyle Korver, man. He made a living in Chicago. He would go off all the time because, like, home fans just, like, cheer him on every time he comes in the game.
Like one of those Patty Mills here.
They don't care if he plays bad defense or anything.
I'm ready for him to get traded, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that, but everyone else loves Patty Mills. Jeez.
What's next?
Let's go over to Luke Walton. Anthony has some thoughts on Luke Walton.
He's garbage.
That's he's why straight the garbage. So
thank
bad.
You. The Kings should not be this bad.
Thank
they
you.
Should not be this bad.
Like, I know De'Aaron and what's his face, Buddy, here are hurt, but, like, still, bro.
The
like,
rotations are atrocious.
So bad.
They're gross.
Thank you.
How's Bogdanović? Is it's not Bogdanović. It's over there. It's
yeah. No, there's
is it Bogdanović?
Because there's two Bogdanovics.
Yeah, they got both of them, right?
No, Bogdanović.
The other one's in Utah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The other one's in. I get those two guys confused.
It's Bojan with a J.
Yeah. They have a good squad, but it feels like they're just not able to, you know, really put the pieces together. Yeah. I don't know if they really feel like they have a team identity right now. They're kind of a bunch of young guys, and you know, I know with like. Buddy Hield. I'm not sure if he's comfortable with like where he's at in the
offense.
I'm
telling you, they should have never fired the coach from last year.
Who was the coach? I can't even think.
Fred Hoiberg. Oh yeah, that's who it was. My bad.
Yeager.
Mike Yeager. Is that his name?
Mike Yeager. Yeah.
That's his name.
Well, Luke Walton shouldn't have a job. Like Ty Lue shouldn't have been a coach. Luke Walton was lucky because he was coaching the Warriors. He didn't do anything on that team. You didn't have to do anything. You just say, "Hey, Steph, go shoot the ball," and that's literally what happened that year. And then they were like, "Hey, Lakers, hey, let me fucking hire Luke Walton." And he went and had atrocious.
They fucking did that because he's Laker alum, and they thought he'd bring some championship.
You were so hyped about it, too.
I was never hyped about
Luke
Walton.
You were so hyped about Luke Walton.
I was never hyped about Luke Walton.
Yes, you were.
When? What year?
The year he came.
Yeah, you were.
Okay, then what year he came in? I can tell you what year he came.
I don't know. I didn't know he shouldn't have been a coach.
I don't know either, but like you were so hyped about it the first year.
His rotational lineup.
He came in 2017. Because the year Kobe retired in 16, it was Byron Scott. So yes, I do remember when Luke Walton came. And yes, of course anyone's better than Byron Scott. Anyone. Lionel Hollins, Jason Kidd, I don't give a fuck who it is. Like
Mark Jackson,
which
he has some baggage, but
Sacramento you give him a look. Because Luke Walton didn't cut the cheese for the Lakers and ain't cutting the cheese for the Kings. So.
Just call Yeager, bro.
No, Mark Jackson
deserves a job.
Bro, absolutely. But he has baggage.
What's his baggage?
You don't hear about all those reports?
He made Draymond Green. He made Draymond Green and Klay Thompson the people they are today.
Forces religion and stuff on. Like, he's bad.
Oh,
like,
for real?
Yeah, it's like detrimental to the team, like misconduct, like that type of stuff. It's not like he's a bad coach.
Morale and chemistry.
Yeah,
shit.
But with him in a system with Buddy Hield and De'Aaron, bro, that'd be fire. That's his perfect system. That's his new Warriors to build up.
If they develop him real well,
get rid of Fizdale. They need to give him a look.
Kings should be hiring
him on money.
Never develop that talent. The Knicks are just trash. No one can save him, bro.
Yeah, that's a tough cookie to handle for Fizdale. I mean, I don't think Fizdale's like a, you know, top five coach or nothing.
Well,
but at the same time,
coach.
It's not like he was given a great hand to play with.
Exactly.
So, you know, hopefully he can get
if
RJ
the Knicks
going.
Would have got KD and Kyrie or whatever, whoever they wanted.
Right,
to
no one
would
give a fuck about.
Yeah,
Dave
no one
Fizdale
would give a fuck about Fizdale.
Right. Oh, he's a great coach. Yeah. We get it.
What's next?
Let's talk about Luka Doncic.
Oh, he's a good
right now. Top 10 player in the NBA.
Well, no. He's the good one. I'll tell you that.
Who's he behind? Why is he top 15 but not top 10?
He's got to be there a lot of people.
There's too many, like not enough games? Or is what he's been doing not impressive? Here, I'll read you a stat.
He's been hooping.
This season,
hooping.
Yeah.
He's been hooping.
So far in the first, 10 games? How many games in that? Yeah, 10 games. So, yeah, small sample size. But he's averaging 28 a game.
Okay.
4.5 turnovers. All right, that's not very good. 1 steal, not even a whole block. 9 assists, 10 rebounds, 84% free throw percentage, 32% from 3. That's pretty bad. And 48.5 from field goal. They're pretty solid numbers, if you ask me. I mean,
I'm not leading not a team. A Luka fan. Like, I love year Luka. In the league.
No, yeah.
It's just there's too many good players in this league.
Too many good players.
Bro, like, you got LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Giannis.
Paul George.
Paul George.
Kyrie.
Durant. Curry.
Durant's injured.
Okay, okay, so George. We're not counting
we're
injured players.
We're not counting injured players. Okay, yeah. We're not counting then, injured players.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to put Damian Lillard above him.
Okay. I'll only give you that because he's got playoff, like, he got playoff. Well,
he might be.
Jokic. Yeah. I'll give you Jokic, maybe.
Shoot.
That's what, 8?
That's 8 right there.
Let's see.
I need 2 more for him not to be top 10.
He's better than Jimmy Butler right now.
I think Colin Towns is better than
him. Honestly, cool. on that conversation, I think Jimmy Butler.
I'm going to say no to Towns right now. And the reason I'm saying no to Towns, Luka Doncic is more for his team than Carl Anthony Towns has been doing for his team.
Hold up. Are we just going to act like the Timberwolves aren't top 5 in the West?
Right now. But, like, I'm just
and
saying.
And the Mavs are top 6?
He's doing this 2 years in the league. This is his second year in the league, and he's putting up better numbers than Carl Anthony Towns.
I'm not going to lie, but, like,
they're getting almost the same number of rebounds. He's averaging more points. I mean, he's a second-year player. For me, that's, like, his ceiling is higher already.
I mean, no, his ceiling is definitely higher, but
he literally facilitates the offense. Like, Carl Anthony Towns does not. He's not a forward general.
Cat's been doing, like,
I still
doing
real well.
Cat's
this year.
Been having, like, a great season, like, to start and, like, in a minute. Like, the last, like, 2 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, but if we're talking about right now, then Carl Anthony Towns, yeah, right now. If I'm looking at the past 10, 11 games, I think Carl Anthony Towns is top 10 right now in the league. Embiid up there, too? Yeah.
Embiid. I'll give you Embiid. Yeah.
That's 10 right there.
Embiid. I think Pascal's playing better than him, too.
Luke, who?
You think Pascal's playing than
Siakam? I think he's playing better than Doncic right now, too.
He is hooping.
I'm saying Luka's 11. And
see, look at this, bro. He's shooting – Carl Anthony Towns is shooting 39% this season, bro.
That's nearly 40%.
That's bad.
From twos?
Yeah, right now.
Okay. Three. Okay, look. 30%. Siakam's in the 11 through 15 range. You got Jokic.
40% this season. So he actually is shooting the three ball well. But I don't know how many he's taking a game.
40%.
Yeah.
He's been busting them. I've seen him take step back threes. That's a big man.
That's true. Makes he no does sense. Got some handles.
So is Aaron Baines. Look, I don't want to hear it.
Aaron Baines, bro, stop it.
Low key, as much as we hate on Baines, he probably might be a candidate for MIP. I'm not going to lie to you.
Derrick Rose.
Him and Brandon Ingram are going to be candidates for MIP.
And Derrick Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon Ingram for sure. I think Brandon Ingram for sure.
He's on a tear. But Jokic, look, that's your 10th. But I'm saying – Luka is 11.
We probably even left on some people, honestly. We're just on the spot thinking about it.
I mean, I think that's about it. Because, like, Blake Griffin, he's been injured for a couple games, so I don't think he has a big enough, like, portfolio right now. I can't really think of anyone else that would really take that spot. No
Kemba?
So.
Kemba!
Nah. Kemba's not.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nope.
The 11 to 15 range is Luka, Pascal, Donovan Mitchell, and then whoever else. But I'm not saying in that order. I'm just saying they're in the 11-15 range.
I'm not knocking on Luka saying he's not even close to top 10. I'm just saying, like, for people that are saying right now he's top 10, like,
that's tough.
Whoa, we're counting out a lot of people that have been doing this for a while now.
What we're saying
is that
he's not top 10, but he's fucking hooping like he's top 10.
Okay. He's hooping like he's top 10, but he ain't top 10.
That's
okay.
Fine.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. That's fair. All right. That's fair.
In a couple months, we'll figure it out. We'll let you know.
There's no point in arguing. We'll move on to the Utah Jazz since people are barking at me about the Utah Jazz.
We don't bark for no reason. It's what you said 2 podcasts ago. You said, hot take, Utah Jazz, they can
make Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first and foremost, they still can. I'm going to still stand by that. I absolutely think the Utah Jazz can make it to the Western Conference Finals. And I'll say it for a few reasons. First off, Mike Conley has had an abhorrent start. They're still 8-3. They're still 8-3. They're still figuring out their team. They got a couple new faces. They lost Ricky Rubio. So
I will say this. Underrated on favors.
No, I will say this. They've been like the way they've been playing has been super bad, but they're still figuring out a way to get it done.
Right.
So I'll give them that.
Because Donovan Mitchell.
Right. Donovan Mitchell's a bucket. He's got a crazy motor, man. The guy's always going 120%. And Mike Conley is literally having to relearn an offense right now. So he's playing with new players that he's been in Memphis his entire career. Like this man.
Dude hasn't heard of my fantasy team.
Right. So like it's tough right now, but I guarantee if he can just stay healthy, that's his biggest obstacle. I don't care if it takes him a while to know the offense. He just needs to make sure he keeps himself healthy because he's going to come in huge in the playoffs. I mean, having someone like Conley that can guard out on the perimeter and give perimeter players a hard time, like getting off shots, that's going to come in big, especially in the Western Conference with players like Westbrook, Harden, you know, perimeter threats that are taking you out there. Right. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Like,
it's that experience.
Right. And
all those battles.
We mentioned Harden.
On top of that's tough. That's another thing I want to talk about. Since
we're on it right now, I put Damian Lillard
above him. That's dope! James Harden. No disrespect to you. Luke, you're a top 10, my guy.
But we left out James Harden.
Oh, true. Yeah,
my guy, you're a top 10. No disrespect. I promise you.
That was a big
Jokic 11. Sorry.
Anyway, don't matter. We're not doing the rankings. But the point is, coming down the stretch. Also, this happens every year we hype up the Rockets. Oh, the Rockets are going to do it this year. Oh, the Rockets finally got it. James Harden's going off. Great. It ain't going to work in the playoffs, man. Playoffs are different every time. To sustain
the
level of play
that
he's doing,
I really do.
He's going to implode the team, if anything. Because stuff's going to not be working. And if all it takes is for him to, like, get scored on, and then he's like, oh, yo, give me the ball. Let me go take this dude 1v1. They get another bad possession, leads to a fast break. Now it's a 4-0 run. And then, you know, Harden's like, bro, give me the ball. They start arguing. I can see it now, man. I can see it already.
Because they're really
no,
close.
Because Russ is already taking a step back, too.
And he knows.
And he's been putting up numbers still.
He knows. In transition, that's his game. Yeah. With Harden. He's like, hey, Harden, transition, I'm taking off. And Harden's like, okay. Like, you got it.
Yeah,
like, go draw that foul. Score.
I think
go get a butt.
I mean, from what I've seen so far, like, it's gonna be hard at first, but like, I really think like Westbrook's buying into his role as like, hey, like, I'm not gonna be like guy to do everything, but like, when I gotta do something, like, I'm gonna get it done.
All right,
which is fine.
When Harden misses, I'm gonna run up there.
It'll be nice to have Westbrook. You know, if they come into the playoffs again, and they have one of those games where they're not hitting their threes. It'll be nice to have someone like Westbrook where, you know, he can just attack the basket, get you some free throws, get a dunk, a little dish off to Capella. Capella's hands aren't quite as good as Steven Adams, in my opinion. But
I still think Capella's nice, though.
He's still nice, yeah. He was actually putting up a couple left-hand hooks the other
day. Which is tough because he hasn't really been doing shit this year.
Well, in OKC?
Yeah, I feel bad for him. Tough. I mean, he's been injured a little bit, too. But,
We're going to take a quick break. Getting to that 30-minute mark, so go grab yourself a drink, get yourself a snack. Complain on Twitter that we have no idea what we're talking about. Whatever, man. We'll be right back with you. All right, y'all, welcome back. Hope y'all got something to drink. I don't know. We'll start with a little mini game. We're going to do a little segment called Scuba Steve's Shot Clock Challenge.
I hate this guy.
You're going to be 24 seconds on the clock each person and part of the couch talk is going to get a chance to guess the starting five for this week's lineup. So
I'm about to fail.
We're going to start with Anthony. Anthony, you're going to be our first. You're the guinea pig. All right, so we're going to put 24 seconds on the clock. Let me get my timer up here.
Team, I don't know.
I know he is.
Also, I will say we are going to include injuries right now. So, be wary of that. I'll let you know if you're right or wrong. You ready to go, Anthony?
I guess.
Miami Heat, 3-2-1.
I would have got this already.
Oh, I don't even know. Nunn, I think he's on starting.
Kendrick Nunn.
Jimmy.
Yep.
Is Hero starting? I hope he's starting.
Nope.
He's not starting?
Nope.
Third is
not right now.
The small forward's
true. Clock's ticking 10 seconds.
I don't know the rest of the team, honestly. I just know those three.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Winslow's hurt, too.
Winslow's also hurt. But well, I would have at least given you Winslow because he's day-to-day.
I don't know the Heat.
All right. So we got, for the Miami Heat, we got Kendrick Nunn, Jimmy Butler. Right now, it's actually Duncan Robinson.
I would have never gotten that.
That's okay. I would have given you Justice Winslow just because he's day-to-day right now. Then we got Myers Leonard playing power forward. Honestly, and then Bam Adebayo at the center.
I didn't know three of the four.
I'm not gonna lie. All right, we're going to move on to Josh. Y'all remember Josh was a Cleveland fan. Why don't we bring back the Cleveland starting five for this week?
My gosh.
One, go.
Point guard Colin Sexton.
He's not playing point, but he is in the starting lineup right now.
He's shooting guard?
Yeah, technically. That's what I have listed.
Oh, my God. The point guard, I have fucking no idea. Is the center Tristan Thompson?
Yep, Tristan Thompson.
Oh, thank
you. 10 seconds.
Power forward? I don't fucking know. Larry Nance is still on the fucking team?
Big swing and a miss. Keep going. Five.
Dude, I really don't know the rest of them.
And there you have it. There you have it, bro.
I thought he was hurt.
Yeah, Kevin Love's
not hurt.
No,
could have guessed it. That's why you got to guess it, bro.
Bro, I don't give a fuck about
and then team. Chetty Osmond and Darius Garland is technically
Darius Garland. That's
he's technically their starting point guard right now.
I was thinking of the fucking other rookie that they had.
Oh, you're disrespectful for that. Not all right, Kevin Love, bro.
Let's see. Hopefully, James can bring us back here.
He really gave me the Cavs, bro. That's tough.
This team right now.
I haven't actually seen what Cavs game
is here. Let me see. I won't do then. What's the record? All right, the record for this team right now is 6-4. And our next segment, the Suns. You got 24 seconds on the clock.
Point guard.
Fuck.
Obviously, deep book. Okay. Is it Baines?
Yeah, Baines starting center right now.
It's Baines.
10 seconds.
Point guard.
So you only got two also.
Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio. Oh, three, two, one.
Cam Johnson, I don't know.
Nah.
Fuck.
So you got Ricky Rubio.
Fuck.
Devin Booker. Kelly Oubre playing the small
forward. Oh, he's respectful.
He's on your fantasy team, dog.
He's on your... Fuck.
We got Aaron Baines at center, and then Dario Saric is playing the power forward.
Hey, let's go again. I want to go again. That was fun.
All right, I'm going to give Josh one more because I only have one more written down.
Oh, I'm on the spot now. That's tough.
All right, Josh.
I'm trying to get 5 for 5.
Bro. You got 24 seconds. There's no way you are getting 5 for 5 in this.
Oh.
I will put my life on it.
Let's find out.
24 seconds. Dallas Mavericks, go.
Oh, my gosh.
Luka Porzingis.
Luka Porzingis, but then Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, that's three.
Fuck. Seth Curry.
Yeah, that's four. You got one more. 10 seconds.
Who is it? Jalen Brunson.
Nope.
Fuck.
5 seconds.
Jason Barea.
Nope.
Big.
Four.
Fuck. Three. Dwight Powell.
Let's go.
5 for 5. Holy shit.
Yo.
All
right.
He's still playing.
Josh, I didn't think you were gonna get the Dorian Finney-Smith. I'm gonna chalk that one up to you seeing my internet tab up or seeing my paper.
I'm not gonna cap this because I
low key.
I played the Mavericks.
Yeah, see right here. Yeah, you got it right.
I'm not gonna cap. I put the Mavericks last night because of the 2K challenge. So I kind of had a feeling already.
All right. Yeah, this guy plays so much 2K. He should know every lineup.
I'm not gonna cap. That's true though.
Let's move on. So we'll talk about the Suns. Suns starting out 6-4. A lot of people are surprised with the offensive production of the Suns, the fluidity of their team. Is it too early to say that the Suns are still trash? What are we saying?
Who's their coach?
Monty Williams.
Bro, they're just
that's why
they're just fighting, bro. Yeah. They're fighting. That's cool.
Monty Williams.
They're actually playing with heart.
AD and Drew Holiday and just pushed them right in the 8th seed, like. And they didn't have dirt shit for a bench. So.
Honestly.
Like, Monty just knows how to get a team there. But when? I don't know.
And to all the Booker haters out there, he's been doing work, bro. Just saying.
He's still complaining about double teams?
Probably.
Man.
But it's okay.
You can't double in pick up.
I still don't like him.
That was weak, bro.
I like him, but I don't know. There's something about him.
He's my wildcat. So
he doesn't play defense? Is that what you not like about him?
No, I don't know. I'm just really biased towards him. There's only three people in the NBA that I'm really biased towards.
LeBron, Booker,
no, I'm not even telling LeBron. Like, LeBron just.
Who else?
Caruso, Trae Young, and Booker.
Why Caruso?
So the first two because they're ugly. And then Booker, I don't know. I don't know why.
That's tough, bro. That's tough.
Let's not forget that Brian Scalabrine walked and ran
so that Alex Caruso could breathe.
No, bro. He just needs to cut his hair off, man.
And you'll like him?
Yeah. I'll be like, yes.
Hey, I will admit, there is a huge, huge, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Connection between hairstyle and, like, level of play. It's confidence, bro. If you ain't rocking with your hair, if your hair is whack or snappy, with the exception of like Katie and LeBron,
yeah, he's some
you hooping, bro. You hooping. Dude, look at. I mean, I won't get into it. I just
if he cuts his hair, time. He'll be so much more aerodynamic and get up higher for the dunks.
Honestly, bro, you just feel saucy, bro. If you go onto the court and you feel good, you look good. You probably get to play good.
He likes
good.
His hair, even though he has no hair. That's Peach why he doesn't cut it. Exactly.
I'm gonna write a thesis on that. I'm gonna get some stats to back that up.
Oh my gosh.
Let's move on. Let's look at we'll move to the Raptors actually. Shout out LJ who's an hour away.
Tough.
He said, I'm on my way. Why are the Raptors still so good? LJ's
words, don't sleep on the Raptors. I'm gonna keep sleeping, bro.
Why are you sleeping on the Raptors?
Please tell me why you're sleeping on them.
Okay, besides Kawhi went west, what's bond that they can't contend in the East?
That's it, bro. They're not coming out.
Yeah, they're not
coming out. They're not coming out of the East without Kawhi, but that's it. That's all I got to say.
Defensive team in the East. So yeah, Pascal Siakam has been playing out of his mind.
They beat the Clippers. Yep. They beat the Lakers. And they beat the Rockets. And we're still counting them out.
Yes.
We're 10
games in. And one of those games, they also didn't have Ibaka or –
That was the Lakers.
Yeah, they're missing.
By the way, LJ wants to talk to you so much about that.
Look, they're my team too, man. Like I understand, but
Lowry didn't play either.
It's regular season games, playoffs. They're gonna face Giannis, bro.
Or the Sixers.
I still think
in the East it's either Philly or Milwaukee, bro. That's it.
Well, I'm just saying it's.
We said the same thing last year that was gonna be Milwaukee or Philly. And it was neither.
Well, guess what? Because Kawhi was on the fucking team last year.
Exactly.
And Giannis was having a monster season. But after seeing how the Raptors shut down.
They boxed him.
Giannis, literally. They just boxed him.
No. Hold on. Because you were slandering the man that he went east and left San Antonio. And you said, oh, I can't back that man.
What does that do with anything?
So you picked Philly over Toronto. And you picked Milwaukee over Toronto.
And guess what? He proved me wrong, which is why I'm telling you right now, the Raptors aren't going anywhere without Kawhi Leonard.
Bro.
That's my point.
If Hayward was hurt, he's admitting he was wrong. I think that they would – Boston would have
– Thank you.
Came out. Hayward was starting to do really good, and you know that's my point. And he broke his hand, and I'm so sad.
Shout out Bill Simmons. Bro. Bill Simmons absolutely jinxed that. He went on his Twitter during a game. He's like, all right, I think it's been long enough. Gordon Hayward's balling out. I think 20 minutes later, Gordon Hayward broke his wrist. I'm not superstitious, but
Bill Simmons, bro.
Bill Simmons has been he's the ultimate Celtics fan. So that man jinxed an entire freaking player right there. Sorry, Bill Simmons. You'll never watch this, but you fucked up, bro.
Okay, so
I did the same thing with Derrick Rose.
The question was, why is Toronto, why is it working?
Why is it working? They're playing really well. It's the thing with Luka. He's playing like a top 10, but he's not a top 10. They're playing like they're going to come out, but they're not. They're not, man. Right now, it's too early in the season.
10 games in.
That's fair. I'll give them that they're playing amazing. That's my team, bro.
We can say about every team in the league at this point.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. On the team, like,
I'll make some arguments for why I think they are then. I think the biggest thing right now
is
Pascal Siakam is a mirror image of Kawhi Leonard's offensive game right now. Pascal's obviously not quite the exact defensive talent that Leonard was, but he's still got length. They still have perimeter defenders with Fred VanVleet. And now Siakam is so much more comfortable shooting the three ball. I don't have his like numbers up right now, percentages, but he steps into his shot. He's actually looking to score from the perimeter now. It used to kind of be a hesitation. You know, I'm only going to shoot this if I'm in the corner. You know, now he's shooting at the top of the key. He's shooting a few feet beyond the 3-point line. He's a catch and shoot threat now. And I think that's really big for the success of that Raptors team. Ibaka is still an inside presence. He's aging like fine wine. He'll still play his role. Got a few more years left in the tank.
I think
absolutely a decent team.
I think honestly how Toronto's been clicking. I watched the game against Houston and I watched the game against Los Angeles. Both Los Angeles actually. I've seen both of their games. I think honestly, like outside the obvious, besides Fred VanVleet and Pascal, I think OG has been huge.
I wasn't sure if he was playing.
Yeah, he's been playing.
But like, I even said this preseason. I said when OG comes back, if he comes back like how he was starting to play before he got hurt, they're gonna still be good. But they're not coming up. It's a 7-game series in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're gonna get.
I agree with you.
I love.
Okay,
Nick Nurse.
But what team goes into the playoffs fully healthy and they go all the way?
Exactly.
Not many.
So how do you know if Raptors are gonna go in fully healthy?
No. Yeah.
You can say the same for the Raptors. We don't know if they're gonna stay healthy. I'm just saying, bro. It's 10 games in, and the one dude that I said that's gonna if he plays good. They're going to be good, and they're doing good, and I give it to them. I still love that team. Just fuck Fred VanVleet. Fuck that dude.
Let's get to the cheese of today. The hot cheese, the hot seat, newest of news, Carmelo Anthony. I will be the first to say, because I've been slandering Carmelo. I've been on Twitter. I've been on
Groomy. I'll still slander him.
Yeah.
Carmelo has an opportunity to fill a championship team role. Now, I don't think they will make the finals.
Disclaimer.
I think they could be a decent first-round playoff team, maybe a decent second-round playoff team, no further than the second round. If they make it past the second round, some teams are going to have to be injured, or Melo, or Damian Lillard. Someone's just going to have to play out of their mind.
Dropping 50,
yeah, so – I'm saying that he could be a real good addition to the team, I think, especially for the regular season. I think if they split minutes between him and Nasir Little, he'll be able to really help Little work on his offensive game, give him some advice. I think the time that Melo has been out of the NBA, honestly, has probably humbled him a little bit. I'm sure he's talked to tons of other players, tons of other people in his life that are important to him. Because, I mean, if you're getting more or less – blackballed by a whole league for, you know, locker room issues, for on the court issues.
Temperature.
That's going to get to you. And there's no way he hasn't referred to other people and hasn't come to his senses that, look, I need to take a step back. I need to be more malleable with organizations. Who's the head coach? Terry Stotts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been very good at managing his team. I think the Blazers have played better than their roster shows. And so I think that Melo has a real good opportunity to step up here and be a part of something bigger. So that's just my opinion on
it. Itching the ant?
Let's hear it. Let's see what you got.
Go ahead.
If his ego's in check, I think he can do it. Oh, if his ego's in check, I think he can do it, but like, I'm scared because Damian Lillard, I know he had to say something to Hassan Whiteside because that man is playing a lot better than he did in
the game of the year.
Miami. Yeah.
Damian Lillard is a leader.
Hassan put a lot of work in the offseason too.
But I think, bro, Damian Lillard is a leader. I think he's shown that because he's brought out best in the players that he has. And it's not even that he's passing it to them. It's just he inspires them.
He's tough too. Like he's one of those players that is not going to let his teammates underwork. You know, like I feel like he's just the kind of guy that in practice is always, you know, like you can pick it up. You need to, like, you can do better. You know, he's definitely got that presence.
So if Damian Lillard can say something to Melo and Melo is like, okay, I understand my role, then I think something can happen. But Melo is still
didn't talk to Melo already. Apparently,
well, and the contract's not guaranteed too. But that's another thing we need to point out. A non-guaranteed contract means Melo damn well better figure out his role quick because they could just cut him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he is working for a spot here, which Melo realizes. He probably realizes now, like, all right, I'm finally at the point of my career where I need to prove my worth outside of just being a scoring machine.
All right, Josh, go ahead. I'm ready.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Talk that shit. You slander Melo. Go ahead. Talk your shit.
Hey, Melo's still garbage.
I'm still going to slander him, bro. What do you mean?
Talk your shit.
Go ahead.
Melo's garbage.
Melo's garbage, bro.
Anchor NC in the league. Yeah. Talk that shit. Talk that shit.
He's not. I'm
ready for the clout.
Well, I think they pulled the trigger a little too fast.
I'm ready. See what happens. I am standing. I am ready.
He's not garbage. He just wasn't playing his role anymore. He was trying to play in OKC like he was playing in New York.
Damn. And this is the same thing about LeBron. Look, Melo going to come out here just like how they did LeBron.
They said that about Wade, too.
Same thing. Just because he old, just because he played in different systems, give a fuck. Look, Carmelo Anthony, he going to come off the bench and be that guy. He going to be that guy. Like how Dwight Howard is for the Lakers, he going to be that guy for Portland. How much you want to bet?
He theoretically could be a sixth man of the year.
If he actually plays his pride, he could be just as good as Dwight Howard is
right now. That's a big
effort. Bringing him off the bench?
I mean,
I was telling them that he could possibly even start, honestly.
They might start him just because it's unguaranteed, and they want to see if he's what he's been doing.
True.
Or for that same reason, they might sit him.
Honestly.
We hear, bro.
Right. Who is it, three? Aminu?
Exactly. Aminu, no, right. Aminu's with the Magic.
No. They play –
Kent Bazemore, right? Kent, yeah. Nasir, or fucking
Rodney Hood. Yeah.
Those are the threes right now.
And so, you know, there is some talent there, but everyone understands, you know, Melo has been good. It's not like Melo, you know, needs to prove that he's one of the best scorers to play the game. What they need him to do is score where it's applicable.
He has to score with efficiency, bro.
A big problem with the teams he played for.
He ain't going to get 20 shots a night.
He doesn't need to.
He wants to.
That we don't know that anymore, right? I mean,
yeah, no, I know.
So I think you look at, first off, a player like Derrick Rose who had to completely restructure his career. I'm sure Melo sees a player like that. I'm sure Melo understands that in an offense like OKC where he couldn't get a rhythm, he can change how he plays the game and chip in, you know, 12 to 14 points a game and be one of the, like, best role players in the league. I mean, Melo can still score in the post. He's still got a post fadeaway. That ages like fine wine. There's no way he's just going to stop being able to make that. He's actually got some size on him, so he can take younger players that aren't experienced in the post. And he's a shooter. Yeah. I mean, he's just got to work on his three ball and just be a catch-and-shoot guy. He doesn't need to be an isolation player anymore.
He doesn't have to jab, hezzy.
Exactly. He doesn't need to be that anymore. Like, there's already creators on the team.
Exactly.
There's already creators on the team. So if you got players like CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard getting all the attention, Melo could very easily shoot 40% from three-pointer, shoot like 4 or 5 threes a game, and only average like 12 points a game. And that would be like perfect for that team.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying, like, I'm indifferent about this because I want to see how it plays out.
It's okay, Portland. I am with y'all. It is going to turn around tomorrow. Starting tomorrow. Watch. Everybody's can have Melo right now. Look.
I'll put a hot take
right now. If they add Melo, what are they? Are they out of what? Top eight right now?
They're
out
right
of top
now?
Eight. Yeah, right now.
I think the Blazers are like right at that cusp. Yeah, they're
they are 13th in the West. Look, I will say it right now. They will be top three in the West by All-Star break after the addition of Melo.
Write that down. Get that tattooed somewhere.
Right there. I put it out there. It is now smoke for people to smoke on. Look at this shit.
Top three in the West.
Top three in the West by All-Star break.
You're asking a lot.
By All-Star
this
break.
This is because the guy that said the Trailblazers weren't even going to be good this next year.
When did I say that?
That's crazy, bro.
I never said that.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy.
Let's talk about your boy.
When did I say that?
Let's talk about your boy, Casey.
If anything, what do you mean? I was a dude.
You were so hesitant about like.
I was the dude who said New Orleans is going to be an A seed. They're legit bottom feeders with Golden State right now.
Yeah,
that was my hot take. I never said Portland missed the playoffs. I said Portland would be top four of anything.
Jesus Christ.
I said the Clippers would be a 60 and Portland would be above them. Y'all were like, he's just a Lakers fan. Nah. What's next? I'm ready for smoke.
KCP.
Cantavious
I'm out.
Said you were ready. What do you mean?
No, okay. Honestly, I just think there's a curse on that man. I think it transferred from J.R. Smith to him. Something going on because –
with the starting shooting guard?
No curse.
Yesterday I saw him do a post turnaround, like a regular hook, and the ball got stuck. Like, I saw that. The chance of that happening is so slim. Like, someone cursed this man. Someone got their voodoo doll or whatever and cursed this man.
It was Rob Pelinka.
That's what they said about
Brandon Knight. Where is he at? Where is he at?
Actually, maybe he was cursed.
I don't know. Brandon Knight's in Cleveland currently.
Is he really cursed? Brandon Knight's still cursed.
He was a Houston master. No, okay.
Not only is his city trash, but so is his team.
This has people saying that they want Jared Smith in the Lakers.
No.
Instead of KCP. I was like, damn. No.
Me?
That's tough.
They're slandering that man.
That's what
J.R. Smith over KCP. Would you take J.R. Smith over KCP right now?
Yes.
See? There's Exhibit
A. Honestly, I'm with James on that one. And
the reason, Exhibit B,
the reason,
bro.
The reason I'm backing that, first off, one, you make a mistake like that in the playoffs, all right, obviously, yeah, you're just going to, like, forever just get shit on for that. Sorry, bro. There's no coming back from that. Good luck. But at the end of the day, he's still a more consistent player than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
You know,
KCP has struggled to find his three-point shot in the league, which coming into the league was his deal. If y'all remember the scouting reports, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a 3-and-D player. He's going to bring three-point shooting, and he's going to bring defense to your squad.
What do
you
bring?
His defense is average at best.
Thank you.
He's not got size. At Detroit, he was not bad.
He wasn't someone good, though. Someone, he was shooting he, like he literally, sub 45%.
Really, when he left to L.A., he just got, like, worse.
Bro, when he was in Detroit, he was shooting 40%.
Yeah.
He was shooting
40%. 30% from the three-point.
Like, what we're shitting on Karl Anthony Towns about? Well, about like, him shooting well, under 40?
Okay.
He was doing the exact same thing.
Right also, by the way, that's just what he's doing games. Right now.
You said what?
I said that right there is worse than what he's doing right now.
I just don't think he really plays
well
in the NBA. To be honest, that's just what it is. I don't think he has made the jump to the NBA level that he was supposed to. That's all it is. I mean, that happens in the league. There's going to be players that are just not going to be quite as good in the league. Either they can't keep up with the speed. They, you know, just can't find their shot. I don't know if he's scared. I don't know what it is.
I think he tries harder, though.
It doesn't fucking matter.
He's not that great of a player for the NBA.
Year one, when he came to Los Angeles, he was still bad. When LeBron came, he was still bad. When LeBron and AD both come, he's still bad. It's just, bro, there's no excuse. Like, he plays average, like what he's supposed to be. Like, whatever he was getting paid last year, what he was doing in games that didn't count, like when they were counting out of the playoffs, this man starts dropping 24 points. And now when they add more veterans and better scoring and better defense, he comes out and he's still making 8 points, 7 points. But no.
He's just good enough to make rosters and to provide depth.
Honestly.
The problem is, on the team he's on, he's not the role player you need. He's not. He just doesn't fit. That's just what it is. You know, I don't hate KCP. I don't have any, you know, angst against this man. It's just that is what it is. He's not shooting that well. He is playing with LeBron James, who he gets you easy looks, man. Like LeBron, like I don't care who you are, LeBron will find you. LeBron will make good looks for you as long as you're ready to shoot or you're ready to cut. KCP has still struggled. They need to ship him. They need to find someone that can fill his gap.
They need
a key role player.
What did Twitter say? They said it's the Rich Paul effect. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. That's it.
Also, if you go onto my Twitter, you can find a potential Kentavious Caldwell-Pope burner account. It's kind of funny. That's just a little anecdote.
He's cursed.
Bro, he's cursed.
I don't even want to speak about him. Like, that's how much he upsets me. Like, I've watched him for 3 years. Like, and I kept thinking, I was like, damn, next year he's done. Next year he's done. And I was like, oh, they dropping the young core? I was like, oh, there's no way they're re-signing this dude. He was one of the first two dudes they brought back. I said, hold up. I said, Rondo, I get that. He's championship pedigree.
God. Rob Pelinka said so himself.
Please move next topic.
I'm not going to touch. All right, final topic.
I'm not going to touch.
Final topic. Briefly, personally, I just want to talk about Trae Young since we're going to talk about Luka Doncic. We'll talk about Ice Trae, Trae TL.
I don't
want
to talk about him.
Trae TL.
I don't want to talk about him.
The homie is going off 40-point games, 30-point games. I think he put up like he's like the youngest player, or he's like in the same category as LeBron, one of the youngest players to have consecutive, like, 30-point, 10-assist games. It's just like him, LeBron, and MJ. Guys going crazy. They're still, like, I think 6th or 7th seed in the East. Do they have any playoff potential? Yeah, they're 7 seed, 4-6. Do the Atlanta Hawks have any playoff potential? It's still the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're going to be anyone in the Western Conference, to be honest, but
it'd be cool to watch them in the first round.
I mean, Hawks are in the East, so anything's
possible. They're a fun young team. They got.
I want to see Collins come back. That's all I'm waiting for.
That's my guy.
Well, I'm glad. Well, I'm not glad he's out, but I'm glad that that opens up a chance for Cam Reddish to get some more minutes.
Oh.
If you watch, there's a lot of player profile interviews where the hardest guy that they thought was to the hardest guy they thought to guard was actually Cam Reddish.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I found that very interesting because I think out of that Duke team, he didn't receive like quite as much hype as I was like.
RJ Barrett's overrated.
And RJ Barrett, right. So.
Hey, he went off. Was it today or yesterday?
Good for him. He's still overrated.
Oh, yeah.
He's decent.
He's decent.
I mean, it's literally 1 year in. Some players take like 6 years before they like go off and then superstars like James Harden. So.
Ouch.
Takes time.
You just hate James Harden, don't you?
I don't hate James Harden, but literally it took him like, what, 4 or 5 years in the league? And then
well, yeah, he was a sixth man, bro.
I know. I'm just saying. He
played his role right.
I know.
And then he goes to Houston the first year.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying sometimes players take a couple more years to.
Bro, he was fine. What do you mean?
Bro, tell me his stats his first 2 years in the league, bro. He wasn't doing anything. It just took him time. Same with like Kawhi, bro. He needed like 3 years in the league to
develop. Kawhi just needed a jump shot.
Get better.
Chipping was the goat.
There's lots of cases of players that just needed time.
Still a bust. So.
Oh my god. Next.
Look, Markel just needs to work with Chip England.
Honestly,
hey, Chip England.
At this point, we're just blind firing because we only got a few more minutes. So.
Oh no. Okay. Can we talk about the Spurs? Marco Bellinelli needs to be gone.
Here's what I propose. How about this? Let's just trade DeMar and LaMarcus.
Am I right?
That's fine, bro.
Shout out Jose Cuervo. We did that in a dynasty, or we did that in like 2K, and our team tanked, but we ended up getting a lot better. But we should do it. Yeah, we should get rid of LaMarcus. We should get rid of DeMar.
I've been saying this for the last year and a half. And now that they're playing so bad, everyone else, as Spurs fans, are like, yeah, let's trade LaMarcus.
Okay.
They didn't see the long term.
For Adams.
I'm fine with it.
For Steven Adams?
I want Steven Adams.
I do too, but not for Lamar. Like,
bro,
we better be getting like.
Okay, let's think about this. Let's really think about this, though. Who the fuck are we actually going to get for DeMar and LaMarcus as a package? Yeah, laugh about it because I don't fucking know.
I mean, pretty much draft picks because it's going to be hard to ship a duo anywhere without receiving a duo.
Exactly.
And the only teams I think are even like eligible for stuff like that aren't going to give us what we want, with the exception of like
the Bulls.
Like Dallas could theoretically give us Porzingis and Luka, but do you really think they're going to do that? Like, no.
Okay, fine. What about individually?
I think
like
individually,
the market straight up, but just like
not a package deal.
I guess we're going to do Gallinari and Steven Adams for DeMar and.
That's tough,
and I do not want to do that. Gallinari is injury riddled. He plays like 50 games a season.
With the Spurs, he won't be.
He plays no defense.
And he plays zero defense.
And neither does DeMar. Come on.
I mean, I don't know. That just doesn't sound appealing.
I don't know.
All right. But Trey Lyles has been playing really well. I want to point that out.
I'm glad you say that because most people say he's playing like ass, and I don't understand why people say that.
No, he's playing really well. He needs to just find a shot, and he'll be good. Okay, but that's it. That's all I got to say.
Final comments?
Faith in Pop.
LeBron's the GOAT.
And Pop we trust.
Nobody.
KCP.
Jazz are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Here we go.
Derrick Rose is a savage.
Yes.
James.
Y'all be ready. I'll be ready come April. The Lakers show, baby. We starting off hot. We bringing it.
You heard it here first. LeBron, give us back Taco Tuesday. Quit trying to copyright crap like that. Hope everyone's doing well. Thank you for tuning in.
Peace.
Couch Talk out.